She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. This show is sponsored by the Chapman Automotive Group, and we thank them for their ongoing support and for everything they do for this community, and believe me, they do a lot. Another great show lined up for today. Our topic, health is a family affair. It's about one person who is making a big difference to everyone whose lives she touches. Her name is Stacy Antine. She is the founder of Health Barn USA, the author of the book Appetite for Life, The Thumbs Up, No Yucks Guide to Getting Your Kid to Be a Great Eater, the director of Health Barn Foundation, and co-host Family Food Expert Radio Show. So, Stacy, I'm going to call you the Energizer Bunny a lot, I think. I don't want to be cliche, but it's like, when does this woman sleep? Seriously, it's great. And before we get started, I want to remind everybody that our fifth annual Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge voting starts this Monday, October 20th, and we hope you'll visit our website and vote every day. It doesn't matter if you're in Arizona. It's just our way of showcasing businesses that are committed to sustainable practices. We're proud of their efforts. We're proud that they submitted. Please visit our website at mrsgreensworld.com to show your support for great businesses making a difference for the planet. We hope it'll be a national workplace challenge at some point, so people from all over the country get busy and get voting. Okay, Stacy, I am like, let's start at the very beginning. It's always a good place to start. I think there's a song like that, and I'm not going to sing, so don't get nervous. But let's talk about how Health Barn USA got started, what your vision was, and I'm particularly curious about the origin of the name, and I'm sure it's related to the location, but talk about your inspiration and the important message of the organization.
Well, I thanks so much, Gina. I'm so excited to be on your radio show, and I think everything you're doing is great, so I was thrilled.
Right back at you.
Yeah, and I love Arizona.
I love Arizona, too. You really love it now. It's why we put up with the hot summers to live here from now till, like, next May.
I know. It's so funny. The Jersey girls, and we love Arizona, so we have a lot in common.
We do.
But I was going to say that, like, honestly, as a registered dietitian, I have my master's in nutrition. I'm also a registered dietitian. That's where I first saw, like, what was kind of happening with children when I was doing my dietetic rotation at Beth Israel in New York City. And kids were getting weighed in and sitting in front of food models. And, you know, really for the first time, this was like 15 years ago, recognizing that this is happening. Like, I mean, obesity and overweight and is really one of the most serious things facing our youth. And there's a great quote that kind of inspired me. It was like, this is the first generation of kids that aren't going to outlive their parents based on lifestyle. And I just thought, wow, this is so, I mean, there were a lot of dietitians in the room. For me, it actually moved me to do something. I thought, well, this is just outrageous. It's not like, you know, we're under some kind of like viral, like it's not Ebola or something.
Right,
This is something, it's a lifestyle. And I mean, we all know how difficult lifestyle is to change as an adult. But for a child, if you don't educate them and at least give them a chance to make better choices, then they don't really have an opportunity to make a difference for themselves. And they're just one of these stats. It's like, so that's kind of what really moved, that really was the engine. And I just thought, I know I can make a difference for these kids because I had worked in the industry on the PR side with food companies. And so I've done a lot of marketing and public relations, specifically targeting families and kids. And I thought, okay, like, we need to make fruits and vegetables more exciting for these kids or else they're not going to want them.
And it seems to me like there really is the bad news, and it is bad. And watch the statistics and the numbers go up about obesity, all of these things, juvenile diabetes, all of which to me are related to health and nutrition. And yet there are programs like yours that give me hope, and movies like Fed Up, and you know, you're seeing more, I think, of a consciousness at a, on a grand scale. Lunch Hour. I just interviewed the guy who filmed Lunch Hour about what we're feeding our kids in schools in school lunches. So you saw it 15 years ago, which to me is very telling. And you talk about strong bodies, healthy minds. So as a nutritionist, you know, feed us that information, no pun intended. I mean, if you don't eat well, it really is a barrier to learning. Is that a true statement in your assessment?
Absolutely. I mean, at Health Barn, we have like these 7 healthy habits, you know, eat breakfast, eat your fruits and vegetables, exercise, get a good night's sleep, family meals. All these things are major contributors to school performance, like breakfast and academic performance and school absences, as well as behavioral issues. It's well documented that, you know, as simple as just eating breakfast, and it's just not any breakfast. Like a lot of these kids are just eating bagels, you know, and even today I was doing an assembly this morning, and the school nurse told me that one of their lunch days is just bagels. And I said, bagels with what? She's like, well, either cream cheese or butter. And I mean, how can that be a lunch? I mean, that is certainly not my plate. So, and this isn't this is a well-educated town. This isn't, we're not talking about living in a food desert. Exactly. There's plenty of options here. So I really think it's a matter of education. It's making it such that it's palatable and people think they can do it and it's not overwhelming. And I think there are so many other choices now. But really where it starts is in the home. And that's really the power of where, you know, Health Barn is coming from, is to empower the child to want the change. And then it makes it easier for the parent, because if the parent wants to implement the change, it's just like you can hit a wall. But when the child feels like, oh, this is great, I can make these recipes and I can grow my own garden, or I can compost for a boy, for example, who's really into science and worms, composting is exciting.
That's right. You know. Get that worm connection in. Some of the pictures on your website just cracked me up. It's like, this is so kids, so happy kids.
Yeah, they just go down and they collect worms and they hang out with bugs and they're like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, well, you know, but then there's the opportunity. It's like, can you put, what are we composting? We're composting, you know, apple cores and like banana peels or whatever. And tea, or if you did tea bags. But the thing is that we don't, you know, obviously compost weeds, but can we compost hot dogs? Can we compost fruit roll-ups? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, then why are we eating these things? Because they're breaking the cycle of nature. And when you start explaining it to the child who, you know, not as young, but, you know, probably in like late, you know, middle school or whatever, then they start thinking, they're like, well, like all my, you know, all of a sudden my choices not only impact me, but what about the environment? And kids really care about the environment.
They really do. And you know, it's really funny because I talked to you just before the show aired, and I was at a presentation last night by a woman named Diana Liverman. And she's the head of the Institute of the Environment here at the University of Arizona. And Stacy, she did a 45-minute presentation on food security, food scarcity, food deserts. And one of the things that kind of stuck out for my husband and me is that this unhealthy phenomenon of packaged foods, fast foods, it's not that old. And when you look at the history of time, it's from the 1950s is where things really started going downhill. So I'm connecting this to your commitment to nutrition literacy. We seem to have lost that. It wasn't taught when I was born in the 50s. I wasn't taught nutrition. My mother cooked really healthy food. So how do you get from the kids to the parents? And is it mostly moms or is it moms and dads? Talk about your nutrition literacy. I love that term.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's really both. And it's even the grandparents. Sometimes grandparents are watching the kids now.
Right.
And so that has to shift too, because a lot of the times, including my own family, like grandparents want to be the ones that take the kids out for ice cream or give them the soda that the parents won't give them.
Yes.
They get the treats from the grandparents. And like I grew up like that. My mom would flip because I would go visit my grandfather who live like around the corner, and I would get like little treats, and that she said that would spoil my appetite for dinner, but he did it anyway. And it was like,
that's what grandparents do. I know. Yeah. My daughter has the same reaction. She goes, oh my God, what did you eat at grandma's? And I know better.
I get it, but like the grandparents are spending a lot more time with the kids, and yes, in many cases they're actually feeding them.
Right.
You know, meals at dinner and stuff. And so there has to be an awareness that, like, why do treats have to be, like, crap? It's
bad,
like, I don't get
really
it. It's
bad.
Like,
you're right.
Really bad food. It's like, I just, like, you know, forget. And the thing is that's a reinforced behavior. Like, my parents laugh because on the way to Rhode Island, we would go up to Rhode Island in the summers, and our treat was on Friday nights is we all got in the car to go to McDonald's for dinner.
Yes.
And it was like, and so basically when I drive on 95, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I had McDonald's, but I actually think about that because it was a happy memory. And I actually have to think, like, I actually eat before I get on the road because my mind is programmed to a really great memory I had with my family.
Yes, yes.
And so we have to think about, we have to become aware that what are we doing? You know, what are we feeding ourselves and what are we doing? And B, how do we deprogram ourselves? Because there are things that we may associate with, let's say, like I said, that McDonald's isn't necessarily the food, but it's that wonderful trip I took with my family. So we don't even know, like for birthdays or some of the candies or whatever we do, there might be like really important memories that we had that we associate, and they're so strong we're not even aware of it.
And such a the connection between, you make such a great point about the reward factor of, mm-hmm, you did great, so here's a Hershey's Kiss, or a teacher's rewarding students with little bags of candy. I mean, they're certainly not mean-spirited and trying to impact their kids' health, but it still happens. What about the kids? I love the part, I read something on your website, and I really want to talk about the kids. So I read a quote, and it amazes me how young you start with kids, which I applaud. But this is a quote, I learned to eat good food, how to grow things, read labels, how to do good manners, and how to have fun outside when it's really messy. Nicole G., age 7. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's 7 years old. She's talking about reading labels. So talk about the curriculum, and how do you get such an excited response from a 7-year-old?
Because you know what? It's all about empowering them. Kids are smart.
They
want to be, you know, and children want to be challenged. Right. And the thing is that you can really do that with food, because there's so many, you know, compromises and inconsistencies. It's like, okay, so, you know, mac and cheese now has real cheese as opposed to what did it have before? And then it's now fortified with calcium, so it makes it a healthy choice. It's like, really?
Not
like,
really.
What's in the ingredients?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, okay. And so one of our favorite games, which actually the great thing about my book, Appetite for Life, so obviously Health Barn is in New Jersey, but if, like, you can't get to the farm, Appetite for Life is my book, and that's on Amazon, and you can get it in Barnes & Noble. But what I do is exactly what you said with the curriculum. What I took was my curriculum that I have here, and I actually modified it for the youth, for a parent, so they could be the facilitator of this game called the Supermarket Spy Kids, for example, and that's in the snack lesson. And what's cool about that is we teach kids, like, okay, so there's the front of the box, which is, says it's strawberry fruit roll-up, and
all
it makes it really
things.
Exciting.
Right.
Yeah, it's all like the messages from the company. They're selling, 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 right? But then the only place on the label that says the truth of what really is in that product by law is in the ingredients. And so we flip it over and forget even the nutrition facts, because that's even like, you know, a manipulation of the serving size. And I say, okay, start reading the if you're a good reader, and they're all like, of course, they're all the greatest of readers. And they stumble on the words, they can't read it. And so I said, well, would that be a clue? Would that be a clue that this is something natural or something artificial?
Right.
And, you know, once they read it and they realize, like, forget about the blue dyes, red 40 and all this other stuff. But then they're like, well, there's no strawberries in here. It's a strawberry fruit roll-up, but there's no strawberries. So then they feel like they were deceived. And kids don't like that. They're like, well, that's not right.
Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. Yes, it is. That's such a really great point. They've been deceived.
It's really powerful. And then they're like, oh, mom, you know, like, let's check this out. And I always tell the parents, like, this is your opportunity. If you flip it over and you've got this ingredient, then you can look for an alternative to that. You can find a healthier alternative to that. And that's the opportunity you have now, because you've actually, you're not arguing over, like, you can't have a fruit roll-up because it's not good for you. It's like, no, we've talked about it. We actually understand it. And it takes the pressure off the parent, like being the food police.
Right, and you're taking the kids, you're meeting them at an emotional and intellectual mm-hmm. level. You're not just hitting the, you know, kill them with facts, but emotionally they're getting engaged and tied in. Talk a little bit about, I love when I see this when I'm doing my research for a show, you really do have an amazing kids council from what it reveals on your website. I mean, kids as young as 10 years old, what kind of role do they play for Health Barn USA, and what kind of things are important to them?
They, you know, it's so interesting. It was 2 years ago, one of our campers, Jamie Lapone, said, I think Health Barn should have a kids council because we feel very strongly about what happens here and we'd like to have a voice. Very
wow.
mature kid. Yeah.
Wow.
And I it's something I had thought about because I had the advisory board for Health Barn, like the more academic type.
Right, right.
And I said, I'm totally open to that. And it actually, like, Health Barn had taken on a personality now that the kids there were there long enough to actually probably know Health Barn as well as I do and actually be able to voice, you know, new things. And really what I wanted, and I've always wanted Health Barn to be, is really a manifestation of the children. And,
right.
and really, as they grow and they develop and they have fresh ideas, I wanted it to mirror that because I felt like that's what keeps it fresh and new. So we formed the first council, and that was so it's become this little, like, club, and they don't miss it. It's like, they tell me, like, I was doing it every quarter. Now they were doing it every other month. Now it's once a month.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
And it's after school on Thursdays, and they've expanded it. And what happens is every summer, like, some kids will opt off if they have to go to college or they can't participate. But we put them, like, Jamie's now a veteran. And,
right.
And then his like predecessor was on the council with him, so they just voted Carson in as president. But really what they're saying is, okay, these are the recipes, these are the activities we think are important. They introduced during Health Barn camp, we were trying to figure out a way to get the kids motivated to like be more respectful and take more initiative and be more involved in the actual operations of the program. And so they came up with this concept of barn bucks. So kids have to earn bucks, which was like real money.
Yes.
Based on like going, taking the initiative and doing and that. And then they'd be able to buy like my book or a t-shirt or whatever. Once they accumulate X amount of bucks, they could get like a recipe for a snack. You only get a serving. But if you had 10 barn bucks, you could buy an extra serving.
And the kids came up with that idea? I mean,
they came up with the whole concept.
Oh my gosh.
They wanted to, it was the barn bank of, it was the barn bank of America, they called it. And they opened it up. They put all the signage out. They created what the kids could buy. This was completely their idea. And it was a huge success. Like, the other kids loved it.
And I can't, like, I'm overly excited. This is when I wish I had TV so that you could see how excited I look. But what you're doing that is just, it's not a side effect, but it's instilling in them leadership and consensus
yes.
building and team building, preparing them for the big bad world out there or the big great world out there. Hopefully that's what their attitude will be. So it's not just about healthy bodies, healthy minds. It's about empowering them to be leaders. I mean, it's one of the most exciting things that I think you're doing.
Oh, thanks. And you know, it's really rewarding because when I'll go to an event, for example, if I go to a farmer's market and I'll do a cooking demo, I'll ask the council members if anyone would like to help, like be my sous chef. And so they have like extra benefits in the sense that they'll show up at like, you know, they'll do, like when I was
yes.
at the Natural Museum of History, I was doing cooking demos there for one of the agriculture exhibits. And I had a bunch of my council members each week do prepping with me. And so it's, like you said, it's an opportunity for leadership. But I think what excites them is that they feel that it's kind of cool because if they make a recommendation and I like it, it gets implemented. There's no like, there's no hierarchy. It's
right,
like,
right.
Oh, I tell
it's a direct
Stacey.
Line. Yes.
They're like, and that's
that.
It? Like, we just, it just changes? Like, we tell you and it changes? And I said, yeah, it's that easy.
Okay, hold that thought. I told you time would fly. Everybody stay with us. We'll be right back with Stacey Antine, author of Health Barn, founder of Health Barn USA. I'm so flustered about the Kids Council. Please stay here with me. Lots more good stuff coming up. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine, it's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines, it gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
Find everything you need for your next adventure at Bookman Sports Exchange. Buy it new, buy it used, or trade up and go where you've never been before. Explore this big backyard we call Tucson. Bookman Sports Exchange has the gear you need for anything from a quick day hike in Sabino to a long backpacking trip through the Grand Canyon. Bookman Sports Exchange, open daily, located on Speedway, east of Country Club. For details and more information, visit BookmanSports.com.
Ready to clean out that garage? Goodwill offers you 40 convenient locations all over southern Arizona. And at every one, you'll be greeted by a uniformed Goodwill employee trained to assist you in unloading your items, prepared to offer you a receipt for your tax-deductible donation, and grateful for something you won't get anywhere else.
Thank you. Because of your donation, I have a job.
The gift of Goodwill. For a list of Goodwill donation sites, go to GoodwillSouthernAZ.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And our guest today is certainly giving us a lot to think about in terms of our children. They are our future. They're the only future we've ever had. Her name is Stacey Antine. She is the founder of Health Barn USA, the author of the book, and I love saying this, Appetite for Life, the Thumbs Up, No Yucks Guide to Getting Your Kid to Be a Great Eater. She's the director of Health Barn Foundation, which we're going to talk about later in the show. And I am absolutely quite certain sleep is optional in her life. So she's, it's not a requirement. And two very quick reminders, Mrs. Green's World membership program is alive and growing. We ask all our listeners to consider becoming an official supporter of Mrs. Green's World to help keep broadcasts like this free and independent of any outside influence. It's easy to become a member by visiting our website at mrsgreensworld.com. Click on the Preserve Our Planet icon, and we hope you'll do that. And another quick reminder is that we have an app now, and it matters so much since 60% of activity now takes place on people's mobile devices, their reservations, whatever they're doing, communicating with people. So we have a free app. Visit our website again, Igloo, I-G-L-U Radio, so you can listen to our podcasts at your own pleasure. If you're working out, if you're in the shower, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Trying to take a nap, hopefully that won't be a choice. So anyway, Stacey, thank you for being with us and for all you're doing to make a difference for kids on the planet. Can we talk a little bit about your sense of, is there a great divide in terms of kids who may have, you know, a single mom holding down two jobs or both working parents and the ability to participate in programs like yours, the affordability factor? What's your vision from 40,000 feet about that?
Well, one of the things I think is really important is that we have access in multiple ways for us, for example. So the school can play a big role in that.
Right.
We do school assemblies. I do them all over the country. And so I've been out to California, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania. I'd love to do the center states. And I've never been out to Arizona to do an assembly. I'd love to be out there. But that is a way to get exposure for the children, like, right away.
Right.
And then, of course, we also have school field trips, which, again, It's a two-hour experience, but it really does change the way they see things. I get unbelievable letters from the kids saying that it really made a difference, both the assembly and the school. So if the child can't, if it's not accessible by the child itself,
right.
the parent, through the school they can have access to us. And that's the other thing is the book itself, like Appetite for Life, is relatively inexpensive to
right.
actually come to a program. And then through the foundation, through the Health Barn Foundation, I set up scholarships in addition to the Healing Meals program. I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but there have been several families here that have felt very strongly that their children succeeded here as a result, and they wanted to give back. So we do have scholarships set up for children that can't afford but really need to be here. So we offer that during the summer specifically.
And one of the things that struck me that's really a free resource and a great one is your website. I mean,
yes.
most kids, no matter what, have access to the internet. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's like that is where the great divide is really narrowed. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, we could spend the next 20 minutes on what I call your content-rich website. What kind of things can people find there when they visit? And it's healthbarnusa.com is how it came up for me. And I don't know if you have the domain .org, but healthbarnusa.com. I went down the rabbit hole. So what can people
yeah.
find there?
Well, if you go into the blog section specifically, there's so much content in terms of our recipes, which really what we're really known for. Because our recipes, that's what parents really want. They're looking for, healthier options. And believe me, there are so many things out there that say they're healthier, but Health Barn is truly healthy.
Telling the truth.
Well, it's telling the truth, but also as a registered dietitian, like all of our recipes are nutritionally analyzed, and they all meet the guidelines for sodium, fat, for saturated fat, for like cholesterol. So I have it up against the American Heart Association. So even though it might be healthy, like I'm not saying it's not healthy to have an egg, but if you add two eggs to a recipe and your cholesterol is like, 35%, then that's not a healthy choice. So
right.
we would use an egg white. So we take all that guesswork out of it for you. And even like simply like, oh, yeah, everybody's like cooking healthy now. That's like the new buzz. And so it's like, oh, yeah, fresh mozzarella, farm fresh mozzarella. Well, farm fresh mozzarella is very high in fat.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, it's fresh and it's homemade. But like, whoa, you eat a block of that and you're like, well, how did it put that weight on?
You've got a block in your heart.
So what we do is we wouldn't slice it like that. We would just grate it and just add it like a little bit,
right,
'cause you can't
right.
take it away. But we would use it in the proportion of which is appropriate. So the other great thing about our recipes is it teaches you portion sizes and how to cook. Like, oh, my God, like I didn't realize one of the things is like for sugar with all these baking items, agave nectar. It comes from the agave plant, which is
right.
in Arizona. You want organic agave, which is least processed. And it's available everywhere, Trader Joe's. You can go to the regular supermarket in the honey section. But one cup of sugar, which a lot of these baked recipes call for, if not more, you could use a quarter cup of agave syrup instead of one cup of sugar, which contributes significantly to less sugar in the product per serving. So
and it's delicious. Like I could eat it out of the bottle, which is really
yeah.
not what you're supposed to do. It doesn't alter the flavor. It's really delicious.
Exactly. So it's like so there's these tricks that dietitians learn because you have to, when we're in the hospital and we're feeding a diabetic patient, you have to eat within a certain amount of fat, protein, and carbohydrate. So it's like that's how I think about the recipes. But I'm also, I'm Italian and I love food and I'm not going to eat food that doesn't taste good. So the one thing that you can definitely find on our website is through the recipes. There's a whole host of recipes in addition to, like on Appetite for Life, there's over 100 recipes. But really, in every recipe I talk about, I give like a little blurb at the top, just talking about like simply, like what is so great about this recipe? It's high in dietary fiber. I call out the different vitamins and minerals so that you can have some understanding like what the recipe is contributing in terms of your overall health and your family's.
And do you sometimes, having the background that you do, which is nutritionist, but you also knew the PR and the marketing side mm-hmm. very much to your advantage in what you're doing now. But how it never ceases to amaze me how they get away with the labels and the claims that they make on the food. So do you kind of like shift your focus to, yes, that's true, be aware of it, but here is the healthy things that you can do that are fun. That's another factor I wanted to bring up. Your website doesn't feel heavy, preachy, your messages,
and
it's fun. It's like, let's go on this excellent adventure and plant things in tin cans.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like, I just feel like I'm a kid. Like, I feel like I'm a kid at heart. And the whole idea is like, who wants to get lectured to? You know,
right.
Everything is about hands-on experience. And that's how I learn best. And that's how the kids learn. And when they're inspired, it really isn't about, and I think that's what you get, what you're calling the lightness of the website. It's not about what you shouldn't be doing. It's celebrating all the things you can. And so when you start celebrating, oh, wow, this is such a cool idea, you forget, like, you're not like, oh, instead of.
Right.
You're not like, it's not like do this instead of that. It's like, no, just do this because it's so cool. And like, you know, as simple as everything is, you know, one of my things was like, make it interactive, right? So it's a little more extra work for the parents, but you know, I grew up with a salad after dinner every day, every
wow.
meal. Yeah. My parents were big into that. We had the salad
after dinner,
not before dinner. It was after dinner for digestive purposes. So who knows? Like, it's part of my Italian culture. And so what happens is kids are like, you know, they give the thumbs down for the salad. They're like, oh, this weird salad gets thrown on the table and we're supposed to eat it. So then I tell the parents, well, if you just give them the lettuce, you know, and then you set up the little stations where they have their toppings and they get to choose between a vinaigrette or a balsamic. And you know, I tell the kids they can't have cheese and croutons only. They have to have a vegetable. And all of a sudden, the salad bar becomes really exciting, right?
Yes.
And I mean, this is, and I have a whole assembly around a super salad bar, and the parents are in shock that their kids will eat the salad, and they go for fists. And it's just like, even quesadillas at Health Barn, it's like, kids are eating white-floured cheese quesadillas. That's it. At
Health Barn, zero nutrition. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Zero nutrition, zero, like, it's just a waste of calories. And the kids here, we have all the toppings lined up. You would think what the heck they were making. They have their vegetable quesadillas. They make it. They throw beans on it, corn, broccoli, just like Egyptian onions from out in the garden. They have their, like, different herbs that they're, you know, working with. They like different cheeses. And it gets grilled up, and you would think what the heck they were eating.
And the thing that to me is so obvious about that, it addresses the affordability factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because those things are not specialty items in a special section of a Whole Foods market. It's
right.
You can get a whole food a whole wheat tortilla and put fresh ingredients on it, and kids love it. I know that one of the guests I had on a really long time ago, she is what we call in our world the fractivist. She's against fracking. Mm-hmm. She was a wonderful guest, and she fed her kids healthy. And she said they got stuck at an airport and had to go to a McDonald's. And her kids said, Mommy, what are we going to eat? There's only gray food here. Gray
oh
and
God.
White food. So that's the other side of the spectrum. But kids
yeah.
like to see color and
yeah.
create and not just have, you know, gray or white food. That's pretty much what you get in any of those places. Now, you talked a little bit about it, but I'd like you to elaborate a little bit. It really is a ripple effect. You know, you glossed over it, but I think it's important to readdress. You don't just see improved health. There's a lot of other things that you can
oh, yeah.
observe and measure mm-hmm. because kids are enrolled in a program like this and engaged. Can you talk a little bit about what your observations have been in other areas of their lives and their parents?
Well, they're definitely eating family meals, which I think is critical.
So critical.
I mean, it's really going out the window. And I always tell parents, it's like, you know what? My dad wasn't around in the evenings because he worked in the city when we were in New Jersey, so we would have breakfast together.
Right.
And it's like making that extra time. And it's like, honestly, if you're overscheduled, it's a great time to rethink and say, okay, where can I cut back because this meal is really important? And just having that time to communicate. And the kids want that more. And there's a more respect, especially with the environment and where their food comes from. They're a little, you know, their kindness factor is up. We always talk about, we have values that we practice at the Health Barn, and then we do our value games. And because it's like I feel like I was, complaining, like, well, how do you expect, how do you get more respect and stuff like that? Or, how do you practice forgiveness or kindness?
Right. Kindness, yeah.
Yeah, just kindness. Like, just this whole bully thing is so crazy. So how do you, impact that? It's like we take a word for the day, even on money, because we had the barn bank, so we had to do money. And we talked about generosity and giving back and not always hoarding everything for yourself. And we talked about this, and it's like, and then we had like an activity around it to reinforce it, and the kids really responded to it, and they would talk about, well, that's not practicing kindness when they're in the garden and they're just pulling the vegetable and not really caring about did they pick it properly, did they pull the whole plant out, and they'll talk about it amongst themselves. So there's really something really cool about a dynamic that happens here about the whole child and not just about what they eat. It's way beyond that.
And it's about being present. I mean, as weird as that may sound, you see kids plugged into devices and the world is going on around them. And to me, if you knock, knock, knock on their door, like I with as a parent and now as a grandparent, the kids want to be engaged with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kicking and screaming and pulling. My grandkids will do anything with us. Plant, bulbs in the garden, cook. They just hover to cook and be participating. My granddaughter's 13, and she's teaching me how to cook because she's
cooking is cool.
Yes,
it's a really important way. But it's like a missed opportunity if they're making, like, Rice Krispie treats, It's not... I mean, we really have to be thinking about the whole process. And for parents that are busy, like, why can't you just teach your children? Like, a lot of them can prep and a lot of them can get things started in a crock pot.
Right.
That really,
right.
Or in a blender that really doesn't require that much. And I honestly, like, even, and, this, the affordability factor, like, I did a snap challenge here in New Jersey, The Record, which is the major daily newspaper.
I remember.
Did you see that?
No, but I remember that paper.
Oh, yeah, The Record, right. So I had to go into the market with my cookbook and the reporter, and I actually had to work within a budget for the Snap Challenge. I think it was $246 for the week. And anyway, I could share that with your readers because I actually have the link to it. But I did it, and I had so much food in my basket that she actually made the register, the person who was checking us out, she actually had them run it twice because she didn't think that it was accurate.
For a
week.
Because
we had so much food.
Wow.
Per week.
Yes.
And what I did things like, and this is, it's like, for example, chili. Chili is so great. Like, that's a good compliment to the quesadillas. Chili is very inexpensive if you're not necessarily using meat. But the beans, you get dried beans, which are so much better anyway.
Right.
And you can get, canned tomatoes. And then, if you want to do canned, but you could do fresh and just cut that up. But there's ways that you can do, like, that it's healthy choices. Chili is one of my favorite things, and you can keep that, make a huge pot of chili and have that at lunch, and you can alternate between meals for the whole week.
And especially now, back in Jersey, where it's getting to be, I'm sure it's not going to be 91 there today like it is here. But as soon as, here, when the temperature goes below 80, people start making soups and stuff in crock pots because it's getting chilly, no pun intended. So that's a really good choice, too. So the Environmental Working Group, I had someone on from there, one of their rock stars, that did a whole thing on affordable, healthy eating. And I think you're right. We can't have the sense that this is just for the high-end Whole Foods customer. There are many, many. And beans is a perfect example of a really good, nutritious food that you can eat, and it's affordable, and you can put it in so many things. Regular beans, black beans, whatever.
Yeah, and black beans we put in our quesadillas. The kids love it. And I just think that, I think that it's almost the same message, the food companies are trying to dupe everybody and say, okay, healthy eating is expensive. It's almost like this mantra, and it's like, who came up with this? Because, I can shop the healthy food, and I've been doing it for a long time, and I feed over 100 kids a week, and I can do it and on a budget.
Right.
And so, there I go back to this education piece. And if you're always buying packaged foods and you're not necessarily cooking, but you're doing a lot of prepared stuff, you're going to be spending a lot more money. Like I even said, like something as simple as just buying the crowns of broccoli as opposed to the whole broccoli with the stalks.
Right.
Because it's by weight. So if you're throwing out the stalks, just buy the crowns now.
And it's a whole food waste issue, too. I mean, another shocking statistic to me is that a third of our food is wasted. That's really shocking. Okay, everybody, stay here with me. I can't believe we're coming up on another break. What's up with that? We're having fun and learning. Stacy Antine, she is the founder of Health Barn USA. More about her great foundation and what else we can learn in terms of replicating the model. Please stay here with me. Another exciting segment coming up.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI clean diesel technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative. Our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI clean diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
Shop the Habit Store first for your home improvement needs, appliances, and furnishings. We have daily specials, weekly red tag sales, and occasional store-wide clearance events. Join our loyalty program and keep up with the special offers through Facebook, Twitter, and our monthly newsletter. Your good deals means Habitat Tucson can build and renovate more homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road, just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Our show today, Health is a Family Affair. My guest is Stacy Antine. She is the founder of Health Barn USA, the author of the book Appetite for Life. And there's a longer title there that I have to say, The Thumbs Up, No Yucks Guide to Getting Your Kid to Be a Great Eater. And she is the director of the Health Barn Foundation, which we are going to talk about in a little more detail. Stacy, one of the things I wanted to ask, and it's not necessarily sequential because I have that whirling dervish brain going on at times, but what do you do about the growing seasons? I mean, you're based in New Jersey, and it's certainly not. We are in the Southwest. We have a very short non-growing season. But what do you do to adapt and help kids eat healthy all year long? There's nothing like Jersey corn or Jersey tomatoes. I will go to my grave saying that. But what do you do in the fall? And then during those really cold winter months, how do you help families and kids adapt to healthy eating all year long?
Well, I mean, what we do is that right now we have a tremendous harvest.
Right.
And we'll probably be, I'm sure we'll get a frost, but a lot of the leafy greens are actually even better after the frost to eat. So we have a lot of, like our carrots and stuff, they'll still survive the frost.
Right.
Radishes and things like that. So we're actually eating from the garden, especially with our squashes, like butternut and that, until like November. So really what we're talking about is like 3 months. And like with the tomatoes, we froze some of the stuff, like we cooked it and
right.
then we froze it.
Right.
But in our winter programs, what we do is we just do extensive cooking. So our recipes are much more, like we'll make homemade raviolis. We make empanadas. We'll do everything like from start to finish. So we're much more involved.
Staying inside and cooking. Yes.
Yeah, and doing, and like more extensive, like, because, you know, we only have, I mean, camp we have much more extensive days because we're 9 to 3, but our regular programming is usually for like the little ones, it's only an hour, the 3 to 5 year olds. And then as they get older, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours. But even with that, if you're thinking about the lesson plus the cooking and the garden, you really have limited cook time. But in the winter, we do much more extensive cooking.
You know, I have this visual. I just have to, I don't want to interrupt, but I'm going to tell you, you can tell that I'm delighted by this whole thing. And for people that are listening, I hope they take the time to do things when they go to your website. Like, just look at some of the YouTube videos you have up. They will make you laugh. Like, I laughed my head off. I'm saying these kids, from a mother's perspective, a grandmother's perspective, they're some of the cutest things in the world. But reeling it back in, let's go back to one of the issues that I always like to ask guests like you that are so powerfully impactful on the planet. What's the replicability factor? How are you going to grow your reach and your impact? Because there is really only one you. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I know that there are other people that are capable of it, but your passion, your vision, your leadership, how do you replicate the basic model for Health Barn USA?
Well, it's funny. I'm like funny about it because I have, I really have a high standard and quality.
Yeah, it's your baby. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just, it's not so easy, like it's not a hamburger franchise where it's like such a cookie cutter
type thing. Right, not cookie cutter at all.
Yeah, well, because it's so hands-on, and we have very strong relationships with our families, and as you can see, like, we wouldn't have a kids council if we didn't have that kind of relationship.
Right.
It's all really relationship-based. So there's been a couple of dietitians that have approached me, one in Massachusetts and another one in D.C., and so in discussions with them about possibly, starting another Health Barn, one of my other thoughts was even to have, certify Health Barn educators based on training here, and that they can go out. So, like, if in Tucson, they could start a program or start, doing after-school enrichment programs or doing assemblies. So that's probably on the future for that. And also just, using more of the media, whether it's radio, TV, to have programming out there so that it could stream into whether it's schools or homes, so that they, there's that educational plus entertainment value of it.
Yeah, because it really matters. I mean, you can just spread yourself so thin, and I'm sure it's very thin, but it in terms of the wow and lasting factor, or the everlasting factor, I think it's really important that you're thinking about how to expand your reach with such an important message. So it's in the think tank. Okay, what about, I want you to talk a little bit about, what do kids not like? Like, is there a vegetable? I just want to know the inside edition. Is there, like, what about kale? Do you get kids excited about kale? I'd like to pick on kale.
Usually kids like kale. I mean, they especially like kale fresh, like picked from the garden.
Right.
Yeah, they just, and you know what's funny? They love this, I don't know if you ever heard of sorrel. It's like a leafy green that has a lemony flavor to it. It's like very sour. They go crazy over sorrel. Like, parents are planting sorrel seeds in their gardens because they can't buy it in a supermarket.
In a supermarket. And it's like, wow. I mean, I have heard of it. I admit to not ever having tasted it, but that's talking about real excitement about food. Like, real excitement. Which leads me to some of your partners. In this walk, do you have good partners like grocery stores or other organizations that are excited about what you're doing and want to help promote your healthy message?
Well, one of our partners is Whole Foods.
Which is
and
great.
And regional.
Right.
They actually help us with the assemblies. So they're involved in the food donation for the assemblies, which is wonderful, because then we can always guarantee like organic, GMO-free food.
Right.
So that's a really strong, there's no money exchange, but they're like really a big promoter of education. And, we never educate without there being some food component, because otherwise it just isn't effective. And really, like, the other partnership, which I really formed recently, is about the foundation. And the Health Barn Foundation, where we have this program called Healing Meals, and that's a dynamic partnership of the Health Barn Foundation with Meals with a Mission. It's a nonprofit commercial kitchen. Whole Foods donates all the ingredients, and the recipes are coming out of my book, Appetite for Life. We have partnered with the Bergen Academy's culinary students who cook the meals with my oversight, as well as Joe Blythe at Meals with a Mission. And then the food gets frozen, no preservatives or anything, all natural. And it gets shipped to Tomorrow's Children's Fund at Hackensack Hospital. And then as the children and their families are coming out of treatment for whether it's cancer or blood disorders, the families are asked, what would they like to take a healing meal home? They can take as many as they want home. And they get a freezer, like a tote freezer bag to take it home, and they just have to bring it back. And they can take, we have everything from breakfast to soups to dinners to desserts. And they can know that instead of, like, when they're totally wiped out after a treatment day, that they can, in fact, know that they're being cared for. They have a nutritious meal. They don't have to worry about, like, pizza or the other kids at home. All the servings are of servings of four, so it's not a single serve. It's for the whole family, and it's income. It's not income dependent. Anybody can get a meal. If you're at the hospital receiving treatment and going home, you are able to take a healing meal home.
So what, like when I got to that part in my research, you can imagine, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I'm involved in a charity here that helped pay off the mortgage a long time ago for the Ronald McDonald House. And I remember,
oh, wow.
I mean, it's like, that is the most stressful, most painful, you know, every parent's worst nightmare, to have a child that has to have cancer treatment. Or I know three little children right now that have leukemia. I mean, I never knew anybody with leukemia. So for you to be able to do this, what happened inside of you that made you decide to do this yet another great thing in the life of Stacy?
I know,
and
really
I say that so genuinely, sincerely from my heart.
I know. I feel like it really is my passion. And I mean, the thing is, my dad last year had cancer, and it really like shook my whole family. Like it really was like, you know, I'm sure anybody that knows. And as a dietitian, like I used to counsel people in the hospital who had cancer, and I recognized some of the limitations of, you know, making sure food was available and all that stuff, but it wasn't my family member. And then when my dad had it, and I was like, oh my God, he's got me who can really help him in terms of what he needs to eat. And he's got my mom who's cooking.
Right.
And we can, you know, buy stuff from Whole Foods. And even then we were challenged. And so I thought to myself, you know, this isn't a time when I wanted to give back. My father's okay now. And I just thought, you know, here I am educating, and this is just not a time in a patient's life to be educated. They need help. Like they need, and nutrition is so critical for recovery.
During the treatment time and recovery, yes.
Yeah, I mean, to keep their weight up, to keep their nutrition, their immune system going, and then it's an important part of the recovery process. So I had a relationship with Tomorrow's Children's Fund, and I was doing a demonstration for smoothies with the kids, and I just fell in love with them. And I just thought, I said to Lynn, the executive director, and Sue, I'm like, do you think you guys would be up for, like, if we made food for these guys? And like how? And she said, yeah, that would be amazing. And I just started talking, and one after another, like within 3 months, all these partners came to fruition, and we can do it professionally. And to me, this is like my greatest gift. It's like, I feel like if I really put my money where my mouth is, it's like, yes, I'm educating, I'm doing everything I can. But in this case, I'm going even beyond it and saying, okay, you know what? When they need it the most, they're going to get it. And like, I'm on a mission to just make sure people have access and have the ability to feed themselves well.
And that is something that you would be happy to see replicated throughout the country. I mean,
yes.
All of us have had experiences with hospitals, and there's the expression, hospital food. Oh God, we have to eat hospital food. Or if you've spent all day in the hospital, what's the most natural thing you're going to do? Not go home and start cooking. Just go to the drive-thru because you're exhausted. It's emotionally draining. So I read that and I thought, I truly am melting in all the right words about that. So what about the funding for that? How do you bring that? It's not an inexpensive endeavor, I would assume. So are you working hard to do fundraising in your spare time when you're not sleeping?
Well, yeah, I know. Well, actually, the initial investment on that was made through Health Barn. So I always thank my parents and the schools because some of our profit was allocated to the foundation to
How
actually
wonderful.
Get this going.
How wonderful.
Yeah, and so now it's just public donations. It's like people can donate publicly, and I've been overwhelmed by the support. People have donated, we just received something from FaithWorks, which was a thrift shop, and they gave us like a $500 donation for, they felt that what we were doing was really important. And they have to allocate money that they get, and they put it towards a charity that they feel strongly about and within the community. And so we just received a check for that. And to me, this is like, I'm not even out. I'm too busy trying to get all these things done. I'm not out there fundraising. But I just feel like if you look at this and you really, you know, people in your life that needed this, like you would just find it in your heart to even like give $25, like, you know, it's just sort of like, I think it speaks for itself. I can't imagine myself out there like fundraising.
Right. It's grassroots and viral. I mean, it really is. And especially, I think over time, you will probably see the families who have been gifted with the healthy meals to be able to, when their sanity comes back or their child is healed, to be able to participate and give back as well.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's not an expectation, but I'm sure, I mean, the parents are just overwhelmed. Like when I see, and you know, it's so, you know, I feel so good about this, but when I go visit, and I know all the partners do, but when you visit there and you see the kids, you know, Emily now, she had brain cancer and she was really suffering. She was only a year, but the mom was amazing. She loved their chicken fajitas. And so did the kids at home. You know, she had other children at home, and Emily's doing much better now. As a result, Tomorrow's Children's Fund always gave them, whoever was participating in the program got my book. And so now, her mom is like, Mrs. Cortez is like, okay, so, you know, now I can make this at home. Like maybe I can make some other recipes. Like, as you said, when they get on their feet. And so, you know, to me, it's like, so I just want to like cry, like being there because I see the suffering, but even the little that I'm doing, I feel like it's so little relative to all their needs, but you need to start somewhere, you know, and I just feel like at least I feel good. Like every Thursday night I'm there and I know that this is like, you know, I don't get home till 10, 11 o'clock and it doesn't matter because I know that this is really important. This is something that I believe in.
And it's you know, the tie to me, I tell people I'm really an expert on interviewing people and doing great research and learning about them and their mission, which doesn't make me an expert on food or, and I'm not a nutritionist, but here's what I tell people. Here's what the expert on interviewing says. So much of this health crisis with cancer and leukemia and all that is related to food and GMOs and the pesticides. You know, yesterday the FDA approved Agent Orange for a pesticide.
Oh, I didn't know.
And
that.
When I got that alert, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, this is just killing our children, literally. And part of that awful quote you talked about where our kids are not going to outlive us. They're the only generation that's having a shorter life expectancy. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is pretty over the top. We have about 3 minutes left and we have 2 minutes left. I got the 2 minute warning. What is the one call to action or calls to action that you want to give to our listeners? What's a takeaway that I love to have end the show with? Your advice to a parent, to anybody, a grandparent, any kid that's listening, what's your advice?
Well, I think that, I mean, the most important thing is to really think about yourself and like how you, as a grandparent, as a parent, how are you taking care of yourself? You know, do you feel good about the quality of your life?
Right.
And then once you determine that you need to make some changes, what you're putting in your body, how you're exercising, how you're living, who your friends are. And then you have to start looking at how can you be that? How can you really lead within your family? Because I really think it's at the family level. Like, can you cook more? Can you know, if you can't cook every night, can you cook at least, you know, 3 nights a week? How's the family meals going? How are you sleeping? How is your family sleeping? Because if you're the main, if you really care about the people in your life, you have to get healthy first and almost like live it So yes. that it's yes. not like you're on a soapbox telling them everything and you're not really living it.
And it's as simple as be the change that you want to see
yeah.
in the world. I mean, it really is that simple.
I
love that too. And I love what you're doing. Everybody, I hope you have all enjoyed this as much as I have. Stacey Antine, she's changing the world. This Tuesday, a show Envision Tucson Sustainable with Greg Wetzel and Kelly Waters. And next week, Howard Lyman, the mad cowboy, fourth generation Montana cattle rancher, wants to turn us into all vegetarians. Make it a great, green, intentionally lived week, everybody. And Stacey, thanks for showing up in my world.
Thanks so much, Tina.